turning your pain into power. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23 through 26. Turning your pain into power. We all have had pain in life, right? What do we do with it? What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Turn it into power. Allow your minds, if you would, this morning just to drift a little bit. Allow it to drift to a place where there's perfect peace. A place of calm. No issues. No bad people. Everything in life is fine. Believe it or not, but that was God's original intent for mankind. We know because of what happened with Adam and Eve, and that's why we are where we are. I was thinking yesterday, and I was thinking of the famous words of one Rodney King. Rodney King says, can we all just get along? But instead of us getting along with one another, we present to one another trouble, issues, lies, hatred, jealousy, backbiting. And perhaps worst of all, we betray the ones that we call friends. Now, if Judas betrayed Jesus, don't you know that someone will betray you?
That's right.
One of the things that we can take from this teaching this morning is that you have to be careful of the people that are around you. So I'm going to share with you three things that betrayal will always teach us. One is that relationship doesn't automatically mean fellowship. We can have a relationship without being in harmony with one another. Because a relationship could be every time we see each other, we fight. That too is a relationship. Number two, every follower or every person that is behind you doesn't necessarily have your back. You keep assuming because someone is standing on your side of the line that they're down with you like four flat tires, only to discover they flatten your tires. Every follower or person behind you doesn't necessarily have your back. And number three, if stewardship or money can damage our friendship, one of us was fake all along. So many relationships end because of money. And the truth of the matter is, people always get upset with you because you ask for your money back without taking a look at themselves and saying, but I promised to give it back. How do you get upset with me and I loan you my money? There's something wrong with that. You have the audacity to get upset with me and you owe me, and then you say that I'm not a Christian because I asked for mine back. You must be out your mind. writes this letter to the church at Corinth. And he writes the letter to the church at Corinth, and his intent is two part. One, to expose, and two, to bring the church in communion. Meaning that what he wants to do is to show the people of Corinth who is the folk that are always causing problems. Then too, what he wants to do is, once you expose, he says, no, you have an obligation still to love. See, just because you have a right to tell me my fault doesn't mean that you have a right to walk by me and turn your nose up at me. Just because you see my stuff and no one has exposed your stuff. I came to tell you this morning, you got some stuff going on in your closet that God is, by his grace, that it's not over. Everybody is dealing with something. And so Paul writes this letter. When he writes this letter to the church at Corinth, he writes this letter to expose and then to bring them back in communion. He wants the community to be a oneness. And he says this in verse number 18. This is cool. He says, for first of all, when ye come together in the church. He's not talking about the world people. He says, when you come together in the church, he says, when you come together in the church, he says, I hear. Remember, he's miles away. He simply writes a letter. And he says, I hear that there be division among you. To the church. He says, there's division among you. And then he closed it by saying, and I partly believe it. Isn't that so? Like, that sounds just like the church at Corinth. To loud folks. That sounds just like the church at Life Changing. To roll their eyes at someone. That sounds just like the church at Life Changing. To judge someone. That sounds just like the church at Life Changing. To think you all that just because somebody else went to jail last night. That sounds just like the church at Life Changing. To roll their eyes just because of this and that. That sounds just like us. Amen. And Paul says, he says, and partly, I believe that. Listen, God will never build his kingdom on chaos. And so God will always expose the issue so that he can build his kingdom, but he doesn't build his kingdom from the top. He built it from the bottom. The same person that you're looking over on the bottom is the same person that one day can hold you. The same person that one day, when you fall off your high horse, is the person that holds you. The same person that you overlook. Be careful how you treat so-called the little one. Listen, point number one this morning. Betrayal doesn't necessarily have to break you. Just because a friend sold you out, or just because a friend betrayed you, that doesn't mean that that has to break you. Because God will allow a breaking in order for the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. See, as long as you cool and you got it all together and you walk around and you prosper, God cannot use you at all. So he allows us to go through a sickness. He allows us to go through pain and embarrassment and a divorce. And he allows us to go through all of that. And then he breaks you and he says, now the Holy Spirit can come in. When you understand it wasn't you, it's by my grace. And it's not you that is standing. It is by the grace of God that that thing didn't take you out. Give the Lord some praise for his grace. God allows us to go through some things. And when God allows us to go through some things, you have to remember that that is not going to break you. And as a truth, that thing should not even make you bitter. It should make you better. See, we upset with some people that walked out of our lives. And the truth of the matter is, they wasn't supposed to stay there anyway. Look at your life. Examine your life. Folk that has walked out, look at you today. You're still living. You're still
still rolling. You're still a shot caller. You're still a big battler for the name of the Lord. I know they talked about you, but that ain't stopped you, because you kept praising Him, because you kept worshiping, because you kept praying. Give the Lord some praise this morning.
Doesn't have to break me. Because Jesus says, He says, take and eat. He says, this bread represents my body. And it's broken for you. Now, if He was broken for us, that means that our life should be whole. Now, when your life is whole, you have to understand that you begin to shoot on all cylinders. When your children act right, your spouse act right, your health act right, your finances act right, everything act right because you're whole. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't be tried or challenged. That just means you're on the right path. So the next time Satan tests your finances, you ought to give God some praise and say, He's getting ready to move right here. The next time you have a headache, you ought to give God some praise. Say, God, He's getting ready to move in my body. The next time the car won't stop, thank God, He's getting ready to send me another one. Begin to be thankful. Point number two. Because you sold me out doesn't mean I'm a sellout. See, Judas thought that he can sell Jesus out. And the truth of the matter is, he sold himself out. You know that person that ran and told something on you, trying to sell you out, but you end up with the promotion anyway? They sell you out. You need to thank God for that. Every time they put their mouth on you, you got a promotion. Every time they lied on you, God raised you up. Every time they stood in your way, God made your enemy your footstool. Every time they tried to do something for you, God says no weapon that formed against you shall prosper. You ought to give that to me. So that He can break you. So that He can step inside of you. And see, when you are broken, then the Holy Spirit can now step inside of you. See, God took your pain and now He's going to turn it into power. What you meant for bad, what you meant for evil, God says, I need that thing over here because I got some good in it. Yeah, you walked out, but watch me walk in. Yeah, you lied, but watch me elevate. Yeah, you thought that person was true, but watch me see them all the way through. You serve a bad God. You serve an awesome God. You serve a God that is worthy to be praised. You serve a God that will fight your battle. You serve a God that is a battle line. You serve a God that will be a prayer on your trouble world. You serve a God that will be a preacher. You serve a God that will be a doctor. You serve a God that will be a friend. Give God some praise. Give Him some praise. Into power. See, this power comes from on high. This power make you face your enemies. This power give you the strength to go on. This power gives you the power to jump over your mountain. This power, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost power. The Holy Ghost power. See, when God says, I'm ready, He will take your little pain and He will turn it into power.
Yes, He will.
And everyone that thought you were through, because you were sitting in church and you were crying, they were rolling their eyes at you because they thought they had you. No food. The tears was my praise. my leg, but I wasn't scared of you. That was my Holy Ghost thing. I was weaving back and forth, but I wasn't ducking from you. I know the power was coming in. It wasn't about you, baby. Don't you take that. It was all about God. He's worthy to be praised. When God step in your life, he'll make everything all right. When God step in your life, he'll satisfy everything. When God step in your life, he'll remove everybody that's not supposed to be. When God step in your life, he'll cure cancer. When God step in your life, he'll fix your checkbook. When God step in your life, he'll make you have power. Says this bread represents my body that is broken, the cup that is filled with the fruit of the vine. He says that's the New Testament. Now the book of Leviticus says that in the blood is life. See, when he stretched forth on the cross, he gave you life. He exchanged his miracles.
He gave me life.
For your mess. He took his spirit and he gave his spirit for our soreness. See, he exchanged everything. He took pain from the cross and says, now I'm going to make you powerful. Now, when God gives you power, can't nobody take it. You don't hear me. I said, when God gives you power, can't nobody take it. No, I said, when God gives you power, can't nobody take it. Now watch this. Why are you worried about what they may do? What they say? They don't have the power to do nothing. Take my job? That don't matter, baby. I don't need a job to pay my bills when he says I will supply. Jesus says, I came to give you more life and to give it to you more. I want you to know this morning in closing, every time that you found yourself in pain, God was setting you up for power. See, when you understand that from pain comes power, then you begin to like those who don't like you. Because at the close of the day, God is going to turn that thing around. You say you don't like me? So? Now, which one of my bills won't be paid this month? Not one. You don't like my hairdo and my dress and the way my nails look? So? What's that so change in my life? Nothing. You think I should have bought a blue one instead of a green one? That's your fault. So? What is that going to change in my life? Nothing. Nothing. Why are you concerned about what they say? What they say? What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? He says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Didn't stop there. He said, they ever lying to him? So you don't have to go get him. He says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. You don't have to fight. See, because sometimes fighting is just from right here. This is the fight right here.
head. When you talking, I fall on bending knees. See, I can only do certain things to you. But when I get down here and say, Daddy, Daddy, I'm the apple of your eye, and they guess you with me. What you gonna do about that? And he says, I got some angels. I want to dispatch those angels, and I want to put a hedge all around you. And when he put that hedge all around you, he says nobody can touch you. You got to understand that God is turning your pain into power. That's what the cross is about. Pain to power. See, when Jesus was on earth,
yes,
he could only be one place at one time. And he says, I'll let you. I'll let you do this. Then I'll give up the ghost. Whatever I give, I have a right to go back and get it. He says, did I tell you in 3 days I was coming back? See, I came to tell somebody that today is your third day. Watch this. Your friends thought you was crazy because you gave up the fight. Girl, dude, may I get them? Dude, I wouldn't take that. But she said, I'll give it up. And so here is your third day. And now you're coming back with the power to reclaim everything. Everything. See, power is meekness under control. Which means I could have took you out a long time ago, but I got a love of God inside. Not only will God take your enemies out, but he'll bless you for being cool right through the storm. He'll bless you for shutting your mouth. He'll bless you because you touched on his anointing. He'll bless you because you trusted him. He'll bless you because your faith grew. He'll bless you just because you did the godly thing in an ungodly situation. He's turning your pain into power. This morning, before we partake in Holy Communion, we want to open the doors of the church, give someone here an opportunity to receive God, to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Everything that you've gone through in life, he did it. Every painful situation, he did it. Every rejection, he did it. Every time you were fired from a job, he did it. Every time somebody walked out of your life, he did it. Every time things didn't turn out the way that you thought they should, he did it. And he did it because he loves you. Now, where's the love in that? Because he has something so much better for you and I.
That's right.
Will you come this morning if you're here and you don't have a church home? Will you come this morning if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior?
Amen.
Will you take a step of faith and say, God, I'm in pain this morning, but I know that you are my power. With everyone not sure about your salvation, with everyone that you need to come to Christ this morning, God wants to turn your pain into power. Everything that you've gone through, God is saying, I can use that. I can use that too. I know that wasn't a good day, but I can use that too. I know that didn't feel good, but I can use that too. Come on, baby. Come on. He wants to turn your pain into power. You're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Or maybe you do, you just need a church home.
we invite you as well to come this morning. Will there be others this morning?